Text tonight from Acts 1, verse 11. Which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." I'm going to repeat it. "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Pastor, would you please pray over the preaching of the word?
Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we come, Lord, just seeking your blessings and your favor upon us, Lord, as we look into your word. We know that, Lord, your word is truth and your word is life. And Lord, we're asking, God, that, Father, you would reveal things to us tonight that perhaps we've not seen before, that our faith would be increased. I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon Brother Nathan. Help him to bring the word as you've given it to him, Lord. God, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hope springs eternal. That's a message. I have entitled the message in that way. When I was up in the Puget Sound area going to seminary, I fell in love with Mariners baseball. And there was this guy with the Mariners, if they were getting beat by 20 runs, he'd be telling stories about fishing with his grandkids, and he kind of had a crackly voice. His name was Dave Niehaus. But the first game of every season, he would always say, "Hope springs eternal! The Mariners are undefeated!" Usually didn't it go beyond the first day of the season. They usually ended up in the bottom of the pack from there on out. But hope springs eternal. And currently the Mariners are undefeated. Because they haven't played yet. Play tomorrow. I like springtime. I even used Irish Spring soap this morning. Wow, I'm feeling very springy. Feeling happy and jubilant. Renewed. And I'm traveling this week to see my son play baseball. That's one of the reasons I like spring, I think. Because I get to see them play baseball. But hope is an important part of a believer's life. In Jeremiah 18, verse 12, it says, "And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will, every one, do the imagination of his evil heart." People without hope will fall into a pit. They will fall into evil. They have given up hope of anything good and anything better. So they amuse themselves or abuse themselves in whatever evil way they can imagine to do it. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, but the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Hope changes our expectation. Hope changes our demeanor. It changes the very nature of our being. Somebody who is hopeful gets back up. Believes, keeps trying, doesn't walk away, doesn't hang their head, tuck their tail, and slink off into the shadows. A person that has hope is a person who has aspirations that there is a better tomorrow coming. Romans 8:18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Wait for it. We all get impatient sometimes. We don't want to work at it. We want to have it. We want to have apprehended whatever it is. We want to possess it already. I want it now. I want it 5 minutes ago. I want it yesterday. I want a new car. Some people, I want a spouse. I want a position in life. I want to feel good about what it is that I do. But if you believe and you hope that it shall come to pass, you will wait for it. Not just, oh, I'm sitting here waiting for it. You will wait expectantly. You will wait triumphantly. You will wait and believe that it shall come to pass because you believe that the God that we trust in will bring it to pass. Hebrews 6, verses 10 through 12. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. For we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see that it says that you're not slothful. You're not, oh, it'll come about. Lord, I'm just trusting in the Lord. No, you're supposed to put forth some effort. You're supposed to believe and to trust. Trust is not a passive thing. Faith is not a passive thing. I'll say it this way. Love is not a passive thing. You can tell somebody you love them, but it really doesn't mean a whole lot until you show them that you love them. You can say, I love you so much. I will write poetry. I will sing songs. I will this, that, and the other. But love endures when things aren't pleasant. Love endures when things aren't lovely. Love endures. And it's not all a bed of roses. Or as they once sang about, every rose has its thorn. Something like that. That's right, you know that song. I think I bought that cassette. It was a cassette. That's how old that song is. Cassette, and wore it out a couple of times. I remember going on road trips with my sister, and we'd sing that song. We could sing every word of it together. Philippians 3. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It does not say, I wait tepidly, trying to fit into the mediocrity of the middle of the pack. No, it says, I press in. I push toward the goal, the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. And I've said it before. People say, well, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Yes, you are. Perfection is not your enemy. Perfection is the goal. It is something that we are to strive toward. And if you go for the goal and you admit 95% of it, you're a whole lot better off than if you set low standards. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Now, you can say, yes, the apostle Paul was saying he's forgetting all the bad things that he ever did when he says that. But he's also saying, I forget all the good things that I've ever done. The apostle Paul wasn't saying, I've got a crown, I've got a laurel wreath, I'm going to trumpet my own accomplishments. He wasn't saying that. He was saying, I will put aside everything that I have accomplished up to this point. Today is the first day of the rest of my life, and I'm going to spend the remainder of my life pushing toward that mark, the prize of the high calling of Christ. Well, have you ever attained the high calling of Christ? I don't think anybody ever has. But so long as you're in this life and you're striving for it, you can do miraculous, incredible things. Christ said, all the works that I have done, and he did many, he said, you shall do more. Why? Because he was going to his Father and he left us here to do those works. And he left millions of believers in his stead. You and I among them. Well, I'm not one of the apostles. But you can still press toward the mark. Because you have a hope, an expectant belief in a living, loving God. Hebrews 6. For when God made promise to Abraham, this is verse 13 I'm beginning with, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is entered in for us, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What's he talking about? He's saying, God said he would bring it to pass. And you have to believe that he will bring it to pass. This is your hope. It is steadfast. It is sure. It is an anchor. It is the foundation of your life. And when you build upon that foundation, you will accomplish far greater and enjoy life far more than if you had done otherwise. It is our hope that where he is, we may be also. It says, whither the forerunner is entered in for us, even Jesus, made an high priest forever and ever after the order of Melchizedek. Where is Christ? Christ is seated in heavenly places. And if we are in him and he is up there, then we are in the present time here on this earth, seated in heavenly places with Christ. We are joint heirs with him. How many of you have a carnal father? You ever remember going to your dad, somebody who had authority over you, and say, please, 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 please. May I please? And if they said no, maybe, then you went to somebody else who maybe didn't know that somebody else had already said no. And then you asked them, can I please, maybe, with sugar on top? Kind of end around that no. But Christ is seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. And we are seated there with him. So whatsoever we have need of, if it's according to his will, and won't do us harm, all we have to do is ask. Ask. I'm getting close to closing, which is a good thing because I'm tearing up my voice here. But I am so grateful to have the opportunity to tear up my voice because I love God. 1 Peter 1:21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. This is Resurrection Sunday, Easter if you will. The resurrection is our hope. Today I often think of all those that have gone on before And you know what? I don't know all, you know, the eternal condition of people, but I do remember some folks singing songs in the Baptist church growing up, and there was one in particular. This fellow would get up and sing about no sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love. And I used to think, man, they make it sound so sad. They sing, they almost sounds like a funeral song, you know. But this brother, he would sing that song in the most sincere and plaintive and almost heartbroken way. And you know what? Someday I'd like to hear him sing it again. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is joy, and the soul of man never dies. Never dies. There was always somebody singing with him. The resurrection is our hope. It should give us an expectation. We should expect to see those that have gone on before. And departing this life isn't such a terrible thing. Because to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. 1 John 3:3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Why is it necessary? Why is it necessary for us to put forth effort to purify ourselves? Because we are made righteous and sanctified in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's absolute, positive grace, unmerited favor. He forgives us. There's nothing we can do to earn it. Why would we need to purge ourselves and to purify ourselves as he is pure? It seems like double work, Nathan. First Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. When you are full of God's grace and full of God's hope, and somebody says, Nathan, why are you so happy? What has gone on in your life to bring a smile to your heart? You have a reason. You have something to share with them. And you will not have to share with them if you are full of the same stuff that they are. If you consume all of the negativity of this world, and that is what your heart is full of, you will have nothing to share with them that will lead them to Christ. It is so that we can have a testimony to those that are in the world. There is hope. It is in Christ Jesus, and it springs eternal in God. We don't have to wait until we see the victory. The victory has already been proclaimed. It's been foretold. It's been prophesied. It's been given to you. It's been earned and bought with a price. All we have to do is believe it. And when we believe it, then we are supposed to press in, press toward the mark, so that way we have an opportunity to tell others, I am on my way to that promised land. Come with me. And this is how you get there. It's not through the Seattle Mariners or the Dodgers, brother. Sorry. It's through hope in Christ Jesus. Pastor, if you would.